Okay, will you turn with me, please, to the Epistle to the Philippians. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. The focus, our citizenship is in heaven. And that is said in contrast to what the apostle wrote about some others who were really false professors of Christ. They're in the realm. They participate in the realm of Christendom. And so they carry the name, but they do it falsely. And Paul describes them this way. You read verse 15, Philippians 3:15. He says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything we have a different attitude, God will reveal also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Let us keep living by the same standard. And then he goes off to talk about professors. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of Christ, the cross of Christ. And this is what they're like, he says, verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Now, that verse 19 is talking about people who are in our midst very often. They profess what we profess, but they really are not true members, as it were. So, on the outside, they say the words that we say. They mouth the doctrines that we speak. They appear to subscribe to them, but really down in their heart and in their life and in their lifestyle, their conduct, their value system, they reject Christ. They really do not love him. That's the world that we live in. And that is the Christendom in which we find ourselves. So that in our very midst, you have some who are professing outwardly the same thing that we are professing, but inwardly their heart is elsewhere. They are earthlings. That's what they're called in the book of Revelation. Earth dwellers. Those whose heart is set on what's on the earth. And so Paul wants to draw a sharp distinction between such and we who really love the Lord Jesus and are determined to walk with him and to follow him. To follow him in his steps, as Peter says, that he has left an example that we should follow in his steps. And then, as the psalmist says, he will guide me with his eye and afterward take me to glory. That's where he is. And so in contrast to the professor who does not really measure up to the possessor, Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven. Now, I must say that as Christians, sometimes we say this, but do we really believe it? Because while we say it with our mouths, and if we're true believers, surely we believe in our heart that is the case, but we deny the reality by living as earthlings, as earth dwellers. And that term refers to those who really have their heart fixed on things on the earth. As Paul describes them in our chapter, he says, they're all materialistic. They're sensual. They're worldly. Their end is destruction. Though they go on in your midst, but they really are not a lover of your Lord. They love themselves. They live for for fulfilling their appetites, for things that are transient, things that are passing. They're the things that they crave. But Paul wants to draw our attention to the high calling that we have in Christ Jesus, as he says in earlier part of that same chapter that we're looking, he says in verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Is that upward call what is engaging our minds? If my citizenship is in heaven, that's where my heart is too, because the scripture says, where a man's treasure is, there is where his heart is. And if your treasure is on earth, don't be surprised if you have little appetite for spiritual things. God has graciously embraced us when we were unembraceable. We, in our meditations and reflections this morning, were referring to the Lord Jesus in one of our hymns that says, he veiled his glory. Veiled his glory. And yet it was manifest to those who had eyes to see. We say with the apostles who writes to Hebrews, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Is that what we see? Is that what we are pursuing? Or are we groveling in the things that are bound to pass away? Am I spending my money for that which is not bread, and my labor for that which satisfieth not? Hear the word of Isaiah to Israel. He says, come. Come and drink deeply of that portion that transcends everything on earth. It abides forever. The Apostle John writes, love not the world. Love not the world. He's addressing those who profess love for Christ. Those who say, my citizenship is in heaven. He says to them, don't love the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, he says, that's all passing away. That's passing away. But you have been called to something that abides forever. Now, are we going to be faithful to that? Will we say, like the Apostle Paul, and demonstrate that we mean it, that my citizenship or my politics is in heaven? My politics is in heaven. It has become fashionable for those, many who claim to be believers, was in the Christendom anyway, that part of Christendom that call themselves evangelical, to wax heated with a passion to make America a godly, a righteous nation. They are so badly mistaken. That's not the mission that we have been sent to. God did not send us to make any nation what it ought to be. He's not dealing with nations anymore. God stopped dealing with nations at Babel. And embraced one nation for the specific purpose of recovering the nations that he had to abandon because of their idolatry. Yes, we thank God that there is a strong Christian testimony in America, stronger than anywhere else in the world, as far as we can tell. We thank God for that. But it would be a terrible mistake, a deadly mistake, for us to think that our business on earth is to make the nation that we live in a godly nation. God, shall we say, has given up on that. That's not what he's about. Paul writes to the Galatians, and he speaks of thanks to the Lord. Let me just read it. Galatians chapter 1, I believe.
Verse 4.
Is it verse 4? Thank you. He speaks about the grace of God. He said, and the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 4 says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us out of this present age or evil world, according to the will of God and Father. So God is in the business of delivering people out of the world. He's not trying to save the world. The world is already condemned, reserved for fire. And he is delivering people out of that world that is doomed to condemnation, that is reserved to fire. And so, those who profess the Lord Jesus Christ are professing that they are among those whom God has delivered out of the world. And yet are left here in the world to represent him, to be a witness to him in the world. That's what we're here for. He did not give Christians a mandate to seize the reins of government and legislate morality and godliness. That's not the way he would do it if he were going to do that. What he has done is to leave persons here whom he has delivered and to whom he has given light, that they might shed that light abroad on the world of lost sinners, so that sinners might see the grace of God and, responding to it, themselves be transformed from within, and then they become keepers of the law without any coercion from the outside. They're motivated from the inside to do what's right. That's our job. That's our mission. That's what God has left us here to do. And we're neglecting that. In fact, there are those who call themselves Christians who curse others who disagree with them, their politics on earth. But you see, they're denying that their politics is really in heaven. In the name of Christ, I hear people cursing other people because they disagree with their politics. Is that right? Is that scriptural? How did I get to be so passionate about what's passing away anyway? That I'm willing to make enemies. Our citizenship is in heaven. And Paul says, from whence we look for a Savior. Is that what we are looking for? Are we looking for a Savior from heaven? I see Christians. I hear those who claim to be the Lord's. So caught up in what is passing that they give full evidence that they are looking for a Savior on earth. In a man on earth. That is a betrayal of the Lord Jesus. We look for a Savior from heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Who will come? Are we looking for that? Is that what's filling our hearts, our expectations? Is that what fills us with energy? Jesus may come today, glad day, glad day. Then I will see my friend. Dangers and troubles will end if Jesus should come today. So, may the Lord keep us aimed at that place where our hope is, where we should be looking. We look for a Savior from heaven. We're not looking for a Savior on earth. So if you vote for a man on earth, that is not your Savior. I want to read from the Epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to read verse 13. Now I could start from verse 8 that speaks of Abraham's faith. God took him out of his native country, took him away from his family and everything that he considered dear, separated him from that and said, go out to a land that is a strange land to you. And Abraham went out by faith. And we also know that his son Isaac followed in that faith. And so did Jacob and those associated with them. And so we read in verse 13 of Hebrews 11, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Is that what you are on earth? Or do sinners identify with you as a landsman who is an earth dweller? whose treasure is on earth and who will fight to the death to protect that very luxurious lifestyle that we enjoy on earth here in the United States? Or are we like the Apostle Paul, who set aside all the privileges that he enjoyed as a member of the privileged class of his day, and said of that in the chapter that we are working in, he says, "I count it all dung." And if you were to read the things he enumerates, they're things that have had immense value, superlative value in his day, in his society. And then he says, "I count them all dung for the excellency of the value that I find in Jesus Christ." Yeah. He says it's a loss. He didn't feel that he had lost anything. What he's saying is that I'm exchanging all that I had because I found something of superior value. But with a natural eye, nobody could see that superior value because Paul was suffering. No, he was suffering persecution where he was once extolled. He was suffering want, deprivation, where he once had an abundance in superfluity. What did Paul get in exchange? Well, the earthly eye could not see that. The person who did not have a spiritual vision could not see what Paul was getting. There was no advantage at all. It was all loss. But Paul said, "I happily abandon it as loss, not worthy of one who has found superior value." So if you're looking for to value a person or a lifestyle that really is going to make a difference, is going to be of lasting satisfaction, you need, first of all, to cultivate a spiritual eye so that you're looking at things not as men look at them, but as God sees them. To see things out of, through God's eyes. Now, that doesn't happen, you know, by accident. That is something that happens as we apply ourselves and cultivate our appreciation for things divine, things that are spiritual, things that transcend the view of the natural man. That's what we've been called to. And that's what the Apostle Paul wanted to urge us to remember. Our citizenship is not on earth. Let's not waste our time. Let's not spin our wheels trying to make this world a better place. It never will become a better place. God's not trying to make it a better place. He's calling us away to a better place. And that's what he wants us to set our hearts on. May it be so for each one of us. Amen.